You notice I have to use the railings. I don't care if the steps are just that tall. I've got what I call a cheap drunk syndrome. My vertigo is real bad. Just a little bit about me. I've been in Gideon work approximately around 5 years. And my mentor, he passed away with a lung condition. But you always question yourself, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, he'll tell you. I know. And about 3 weeks before my mentor, right before he passed away, was walking out of the church, and he looked up at me and had that evil eye look. As my wife knows, it's somebody that can look at you and knock you down, but never touch you. And he looked up at me, he said, Rusty, I know, I have a strong feeling. I know what God wants you to do. And as I speak for the Gideons. So I accepted it, and I was nervous. The first church I went to was during the COVID. There wasn't but 7 people there. But when I finished, it was wonderful. I never know what I'm going to speak of, I was telling Pastor, until I get up here, and that's the truth. But honestly, I'm going to try to speak of what I studied on tonight. And as I said, keep your prayer for my wife. We're going to defeat Satan. We're going to pray positive. And we have February 4th at 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll find out. So, but I've been doing, like I say, several, a lot. And these testimonies I will be telling you, or maybe just one, all of them are true. We do not make up any stories, that per se. But every one of them is true. And I noticed on your bulletin, as you say, it lists my name. And right below it, the invitation on him, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, minute, second of every day. And I wouldn't be doing this without him, without the Lord behind me. But I'm going to first go with the Gideons. It makes me nervous to speak to a church as a Gideon when there's a Gideon in amongst y'all. So I might be telling a story. I don't know. But there's, I think, over two, let's see, since... I get it straight. Since 1898, I believe that's when the Gideons started. And around 1908, two or three churches got together out in Iowa. And the lead pastor, Reverend E.R. Burkhalter, he come up to help the Gideons. And the Gideons... One thing that they do, give out Bibles worldwide in colleges and in schools. We're allowed to do that. We're in some places that they will not allow evangelists. Gideons can get in. But since that time, that Reverend Burkhalter says, let's plan something to help the Gideons. And the Gideons going out to churches now nationwide, that's what started in 1908. But since the inception of the Gideons, we have given out a little over 2.5 billion Bibles and worldwide. These Bibles have been getting out during wartime. I told you. As in Vietnam, I can't think of his name, this fellow, Tom, and 3 of his cohorts, they were in an infantry platoon and come up amongst a night fire. They were being attacked by the VC, the Viet Cong. And there were four survivors of their platoon. And it was Tom and his three friends. And when he was due to come home, all four of them were coming home at the same time. And they talked about it on the flight. Says, when we get back to the base, we're going to get a motel. And we're going downtown to celebrate us surviving Vietnam. And so when they got the flight landed, checked in at the base, and went to the motel and checked in their room. And Tom told them, says, y'all go ahead and go to your rooms. I'm going to go up in the room. I'm going to rest a while. And y'all come get me when you're ready. And he went in, he's real tired. And he sat down on the bed and automatically he thought about the Gideon Bible in the nightstand. So he got out and started reading. No particular verses. And then about an hour and a half later, he heard a knock on the door. And he looked out and it was his friends and opened the door and told him, says, y'all go ahead. I've been reading this Bible and I'm really into it now. So I will come down. I don't know where y'all, around the area y'all be. I will come down. He said, okay. And he loved these people now as his family. The only surviving members of that platoon. He did really love them as family. And he was reading the Bible and he lost track of time. And a couple hours later, and he said, oh, no, they done come up here to get me again. No, it wasn't them. He looked out the peephole, and it was two state patrolmen. He said, no. And he opened the door, and is everything okay? And they said, are you? And called his name. He said, yes, that's. Do you know? And he named off three names. He said, yeah, that's my friends. I spoke to go, but I'm fixing to leave to go down and see them. And the second state patrolman said, son, you stay where you're at. He said, oh my God, what's wrong? What happened? And state patrolman, I'm sorry to tell you, but all three of your friends are dead. They got killed in a crash by a drunk driver. And it tore him apart. He wanted to stop living. That was his family. He spent over two tours with these guys over there. And they're not no more. And a week later, you know, they had the services. And he went home. He didn't know what he was going to do. He had no idea. And he went to church. And he said, something's eating at me. And he kept fooling his suit jacket. Something's eating at me. And he felt right here. It was a Gideon Bible given to him, the New Testament. And he went in church and he was sitting down like I was. And he was reading through it and found some verses. And like I say, this man, physically he was out of it. Mentally he was out of it. He didn't know. And he kept reading. Now let me tell you something. Before the close of service, he was getting chills. A lot of people call them chill bumps. I call them glory bumps. And he didn't know what was happening. He thought he was fixing to get sick. Before that service was over with, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Lord and Savior. And to this day, and that was a long time ago, Tom is a full-time Baptist minister. And because this strategically placed Gideon Bible, like I say, we place them in the motels. We've been to the Perry Fair. We helping the Gideons up there 2 years ago under a little bit of 10 by 10 tent now. And my wife helped us. We give out in 10 days at there, we give out 15,000 Bibles that week in Perry. And these, you never know. And I'll go of that testimony some other day, but like in prison, this prisoner, he's in for life. And he's accepted dying in prison. And he asked a friend of his, they make him a shank. In prison terms, is a knife, a homemade knife. Or it could be a homemade ice pick. And he was going to take his own life. And he walked by his cell, and he asked his friend to put it on his bunk in his cell. Walked by his cell, and there was a package on his bunk. He said, good. I can take my life now. I'm not going to get out of prison. And he reached over and got it, and it was a... he opened it up, and it wasn't a shank. He was really, really mad. It was a Gideon Bible. He had been talking about taking his life to his friend. And he was mad. He at first he thought it was a note for him to go hit someone else. The mob was paying him to kill somebody else. But it was a shank, homemade shank. No, it wasn't. It was the Gideon Bible, but he was wanting the homemade shank. And he got real mad at his friend. He reached in there and tore out a page of the Bible. Tore out a page of the Bible and smoked with it. Put his homemade tobacco, whatever the tobacco they get. And he kept smoking. And then he sat down and started reading the Bible. He sat down and he started crying. River of tears. And he did not take his life. He actually, when he saw his friend was scared he was going to kill him. When he saw his friend come in, he come in the cell, he got up off the bunk and went down and hugged him, crying, hugging him. And he thought, what in the world is this man going through? He had read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what to do to be saved now. And that prisoner still has that Gideon Bible. It saved him. And I was talking to a friend of ours. I was telling my wife. I was talking to a friend. We'd go up Pigeon Forge a lot on vacation. And I saw a friend of ours down. He's singing with the Kingdom Heirs now. He's a bass singer. He's singing professionally now. And he said, Rusty, I'll tell you what. He told me about a short testimony. He said, this lady, I know I'm real good friends with her. She was out singing. She was the opening act. I don't know if any of y'all know it. He goes worldwide. The Julio Iglesias. And she come home after the tour, the American tour. And she wasn't feeling well. And she called Brad because she knew he lived there. She called Brad and says, Brad, I'm just not feeling well. I'm just lonely. I don't know. And he got worried. He kept talking to her about an hour. And after a while, he hung up and says, I'll call and check on you. Well, she sat down, and that was another one that was fixing to commit suicide. And she was worried. And it's like Elvis Presley, you know, before he died, he said, "I'm the loneliest man in the world." All these millions of fans, but he was still lonely. Oh, she had all this money and the singing, and she was lonely. Well, for some reason, same thing, she looked in the nightstand, there it was, the Gideon Bible, and she started reading it. And the next morning, and Brad was scared. He called her before daylight, 5:36, and she answered all bubbly and nice. And guess what? He said, "What's wrong? You said you're tired. Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm sorry I scared you." And Red, I got really worried. I thought about taking my own life. But because of God's word, I'm still here. The Gideon Place Bible is Place Bible. It's not get any Bible, but the Gideon's Place's Bible, they give out like at the fair, at the Pier Fair. I give four out to a young man and his wife had two small children. And 10 minutes later, he come back by. Now, I'd only give him four Bibles. He come back by, had about 8 or 10 Bibles. He found them on the ground, found them in the trash can that people had thrown away, that we'd give them to. Well, the seeds are planted. And I would tell people, the other Gideons, you give them, don't be discouraged. The seeds are planted. And that's what we're after. And I told you, I don't know how I do this. This is what I studied, 2 pages long. It's about a young man, and I can't go into it. Guess what? It's almost time for me to quit. I don't know what I'm going to talk about until I'm up here. And I'm telling you, don't matter what you give. Like I was spoken at an interracial church in Tifton. And after everything was over with, I was thinking, get in the car and go, me and the wife. These two little girls, a girl and a brother, 5 years old, they sang in the choir. And sang a song. I could hear somebody, I was in the back, and I could hear somebody hollering, Mr. Gideon, please wait, I want to help the Gideons. I didn't know when I looked around, and that was one of them, the little girl. I said, "What can I do for you, sweetheart?" And she says, "I want to help the Gideons here." And I've been down, and she gave me a quarter and a penny. I said, "Sweetheart, that's just like $1 million. Smile, and like, at a church in Eastman during that COVID time, lady come up, she was tears coming down her eyes. No, in Albany, Georgia, lady was coming up in Albany. It used to be a whiskey store in a church. And she coming down the aisle, come out later, she was 84 years old. And she had one of them called purses, little old lady purse like that. And she come up to the plate because on this side is the Gideon plate, this side was the church plate, and on the Gideon plate, she unsnapped it, emptied every bit of it, and she looked up at me with tears and says, from right where my wife is, I said, "I'm so sorry, but that's all I've got." She gave it to the Gideons. But if you give a penny, no problem. The little Bibles run about $1.40 a piece. The motel Bibles, what we call normal size Bibles, they run about $8 a piece. And but every penny helps. Not as it just affects me so much. I used to drink like a fish, a fifth of whiskey every day, two on the weekends. Well, now, 25 years ago, I quit drinking. 13 years ago, I quit smoking. How'd you do that? Well, I got a boat that I wanted. I got a van that I've used to pull my boat with, all for money of not smoking or drinking. And I still got my wife. Because if I hadn't stopped the drinking and smoking, I'd have lost my wife and my life. So, but we saved a lot of money. And before I leave down, I still ask you to pray for my wife. She defeated lung cancer. 5 months ago, the doctor said the scan shows no evidence of cancer. And we don't know what we're fighting now because we don't know until February 4th. We're going to defeat that. So don't give up. Don't give up at all. And I'll close with this right here. There's a phrase in the Bible, preacher, I don't know, I just saw this the other night going through the internet, that's repeated 365 times in the Bible. And that phrase is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And in the verse, one of the verse I was looking at says, step into faith, not fear. Don't give up. And be like Abraham. He did what the Lord said do. The Lord was testing his faith. And Abraham's faith is strong. So I could keep going for another 2 hours. I tell people sometime in church, I got a list that's 3 books long. And that's all I'm going through. Be 2.5 hours before I get through. Pastor, I appreciate you allowing me to come here, and all of you for listening to me. At least I didn't chase nobody out. And I say this, I close this. The preacher that we used to have, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he'd greet us at the end of everybody going out. And I'll say this to you now. It's not rhetoric. It's in my heart and my wife too. Don't forget, please, that Jesus Christ loves you. And so do my wife and I. And thank you all. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Rusty. When we dismiss this morning, Rusty will be in the vestibule with his Bible open. And if you feel led to give to the Gideons, you can place your donation there. Again, if you do it by check, please write that to the Gideons International. But as we're here this morning, if you want to personally know this Jesus that is written of, spoken of throughout God's Word, we want to give you that opportunity to come to know him. Or if you simply need a time to meet with him, we want to give you the opportunity for that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll have a time of invitation and decision.